Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm pleased to be with you once more. Christian Basics. The series continues with one more look at the person of Jesus Christ. We're considering together the important Christian basic that we need to teach new or untaught believers, namely the person of Christ, our Saviour. Now, whenever we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two things we have to keep in mind. The first is that Jesus is fully divine. He is God, God the Son, as we've seen in our last two programs. And alongside that is the other important fact that Jesus is also fully human. He was a real man with a genuine body like ours. So we can say that he is one person but with two natures, divine and human. And it's the latter of these that we're going to be thinking about here on Serving Today. With the help of Dr. John Hall again, and when Derek French spoke with him, John began like this.
Well, the Bible clearly tells us he is fully human. He left glory, he took to himself a full human nature. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he was made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man. When you looked at him, as he walked on earth, what you saw was a man. He had a body, a soul, emotions, just as we have. Let's look now, Derek, at some of the biblical evidence. Please read John 1 and verse 14.
John, speaking of Jesus as the Word, says, "The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us."
The Word, who was God the Son, who was God, became flesh, and they saw his glory. He lived, he made his dwelling amongst men. In Hebrews 2 and verse 14 it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. He had the same flesh and blood as we have. He shared our humanity, and he died."
So in what ways can we say that Jesus was human like us?
He had a body like ours. He also had a rational soul. He thought in the way we think. He was inwardly distressed, as we are, by our troubles. He said as he faced his sin-bearing death in Matthew 26:38, this, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He had human emotions too. You remember how he wept as he stood outside the tomb of his friend. Please, could you read that for us, Derek, in John 11:33-35.
"When Jesus saw her weeping," that's Lazarus's sister, "when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. Jesus wept."
He wept. He had human emotions like we have. And just as we are born, so Jesus was born, because it says in Galatians 4:4-5, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Jesus was a real man. We could have also looked at other evidence, seen how he was thirsty and weary, how he was tempted. But remember this, he shared our humanity, our flesh and blood, our body, in all its fullness, with a mind and heart and will, just as we have, with all that implies.
John, those were ways in which Jesus was like us. Were there any ways in which he was different from us as a human being?
Yes, Derek, three ways. He was born of a virgin. He was without sin. And of course, he was God the Son as well. Let's look at what the Bible says about these elements where he differed from us. He was born of a virgin. Let's read now Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23.
An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
There we see Mary, who was a virgin. She conceived as a result of the Holy Spirit creating in her a son. This son was called Jesus because he was to be a saviour. He was a human being. He was born. Yet he was and is described Emmanuel, God with us. Secondly, he was without sin. Please read, Derek, Hebrews 4 and verse 15.
Yes, this is where Jesus is described as the high priest of believers. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin."
And finally, he was God the Son as well, as we have already seen in an earlier programme. God, in love, sent and gave his Son for us.
John, you've reminded us again there that Jesus was God the Son and therefore must be equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But what about those Bible passages that seem to indicate Jesus considered himself as a lesser being than his Father? For example, in John 10 verse 29, where Jesus said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." And there are similar phrases in 1 Corinthians 15. How are we to understand these Bible passages?
Yes, Derek, these Bible passages are challenging, but they go with all the rest of the Bible passages, and we've got to interpret them in the light of them. Jesus, God the Son, came to earth and took the form of a servant. He did not hold on to the equality that was his, but in his role as a saviour and mediator between God and men, he was submissive to his Father's will and purpose. And in that sense, in his role as a saviour, he was less than his Father. In his function as a saviour, he was less or subordinate to his Father. He agreed to come and do his Father's will.
So these verses never indicate that Jesus ceased to be God for that time that he was upon earth?
No, they don't indicate that, nor do they indicate that in his essence he was anything less than fully God.
That's very helpful, John. Thank you. John, coming back to Jesus' humanity, why was it necessary for him to have a real human nature as well as a divine one?
Well, men sinned, and the penalty for sin was death. And so Jesus had to share our humanity in order to die for us as sinners. So please read for us Hebrews 2, 14 to 17.
"Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people."
There it is in the scriptures. He shares our humanity in order to die for sinners. Now, because Jesus is who he is a suitable and all-sufficient saviour for sinners, and this is really good news. And we're going to end this programme with a few quotations from Scripture to show how good this news is. And Derek's going to read to us now Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28.
"Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever.
There Jesus is described as living forever, and therefore he's able to save those who come to God through him completely, to the uttermost, right to the end. He is exactly what we sinners need. He has sacrificed once, just once, and only once, for sin. And therefore he can save those who come to him. Derek, read another lovely passage, please, from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 to 28.
In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that is only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year, with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Lovely again, isn't it? He has shed his blood once and only once. And now he appears in heaven for his people. Just as we die once, there's no reincarnation. So Christ died once as a sacrifice for sins. And he's going to come again to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him, and terrible judgment for those who are not.
John, in the light of that then, could I ask just one last question? When we consider Jesus' divine nature, we asked how we should respond to that. We've seen today that Jesus has a very real human nature. How does God want us to respond to him then with that in mind?
Well, Derek, it's clear from some of what we've read that we're to respond to him as a saviour. He saves completely those who come to God through him. And so you must trust him. You must come to him. He can and will save you. Death and judgment face all men. And the only way to be saved is for Jesus to save you, for his blood, his sacrifice, to secure for you the forgiveness of your sins. Look what a lovely, suitable saviour he is. And if you're a Christian, then the fact that the Lord Jesus is fully human means that he can understand you, that he can suffer alongside you, that you can trust him to sympathise with you and to intercede for you, to pray for you. You can trust him and have a warm relationship with him, knowing that he has suffered as you suffer and yet was without sin. He's an all-sufficient saviour. Be sure to trust him.
Well, there we must end this edition of Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.